Lynette and Kaylee are about to have another baby, and as we think about them, we keep them in our prayers, and as we think about that particular event, about those new babies coming into the world, it's those of us as parents, we recognize that special time, and we remember back when they come into the world, you know, you can't wait to get your hands on them, and as adults, you find yourself smelling them, you know. You think later, why did I do that? As an adult, here I am smelling this little baby, but you can't resist. And then the hair and all that kind of thing. And you go through all of that. And you just realize how, you know, precious a moment that is. And, of course, the nurse takes that baby and puts it over on the side there in the little crib area. And they immediately start measuring on them. They measure their head and they measure how long they are, and they weigh them, and they do all those kinds of things. Why do they do that? Well, we want to know if that baby's going to grow. So when we come back later for the follow-up appointments with the pediatrician, they measure the head again and the length and the weight. They want to see if that little baby's gaining weight. Why are we doing that? We want to see if that little baby is growing properly. In our scripture reading this morning of Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says in verse 15 that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ. I want to talk about growth this morning, spiritual growth. We've been studying this some in our class of Ephesians. I would encourage you to be a part of that if you can. Jeff is doing a great job of leading us through Ephesians. And there are a couple places in the book of Ephesians where Paul talks about growth, and that's been on my mind recently. So this morning, let's answer the question, how do I know that I'm growing? How do you know if that little baby is growing? Well, there are external physical means and ways of testing that. We don't just say, well, the baby's growing. We have weight charts and height charts, and maybe you did that with your kids. You put them up against the wall and you made a little mark, and then a year later you put them up against the wall and you made another mark, and you see those little marks going up the wall. We know that someone is growing because of measurements, because of physical ways to test that other than just saying, well, I think or I feel that somebody's growing. We have ways of testing that. In the same way is true with our spiritual growth. This morning, when we talk about growth, we're talking about a topic that everybody likes. It's everybody agrees with. We would all say we want to be growing spiritually, but we're going to test that this morning. How do we know that we're really growing? I think it's something that we would all agree that we need to be doing, but how do we test that biblically? That's what we want to do this morning. As I begin to look at how that concept is used in the New Testament, this idea of growth, it's used about 23 times in the New Testament. Many of them are used with regard to something physically growing, but there's a few places where spiritual growth is discussed. Ephesians is one of them. We're going to look at some others this morning. But when you look at those different ways or places in which that word is used, you're going to find this morning that growth is associated with five different concepts. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Growth is associated with five different elements or concepts. And when we study those, then we answer the question, how do we know if we're growing or not? This morning I'm talking about spiritual growth, although it would involve numerical growth, a congregation growing in size and the pews fill up more and more. It involves that. But we're going to focus on our own personal spiritual growth this morning. How do I know that I'm growing? And I hope that'll help us to have a better relationship with Christ. First of all, growth is natural. We look at children, Luke 1:80, Luke 2:40. Little babies grow into children. Children grow into youths. Youths grow into adults. adults grow into old age. It's just a natural thing. Whether you're talking about plants, Matthew 6:28, flowers growing, or children growing, it's just a natural process. And spiritual growth is supposed to be natural. It's supposed to be something that just comes along after baptism. Just like a little baby is born into the world, we are spiritually born into the kingdom. John 3:5, we're born again. And so when we're baptized into Christ, it's a spiritual birth. And just like little babies grow, and we hope they do grow, and when they don't, and we're taking those measurements, and we realize something's not developing right here, we know that sometimes there are some childhood diseases that come along, where a little baby is not growing properly, or a child is not growing properly, and then sometimes we'll take them to a specialist and deal with that. Something's not normal here. And so we realize that, and it's in the same process spiritually. It just needs to be a natural process that naturally comes after the spiritual rebirth. And it's to be expected. We expect growth. We're coming up here in a few months in the spring, and when Roger and I put our garden out, we're going to expect those little plants to grow. In fact, sometimes I get so excited, I don't see anything for a day or two, and then I round the corner and I just see those little things. And Sherry will tell you, I come in, I'm all happy. Hey, I saw some little things popping up out there. It's just expected. And that's what the Lord is expecting of us. We need to be growing because that's just the natural spiritual process. But how do I know if that is actually taking place? Well, when I round the corner and I see my corn 1 inch, and then about a week later I see my corn 3 inches, I know that everything's fine. So there are going to be some ways of testing that spiritually. How do I know that I'm growing? It's to be expected. And it's to be expected spiritually. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul expected the brethren at Corinth to be growing spiritually, and when he found that they were not, he rebuked them for that. If growth is to be expected and we're not seeing it in our life, then we need to be encouraged to make that change. He wanted to write to them, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. There were some things that Paul wanted to say to the Corinthian brethren, but at this point, they couldn't handle that. They're acting spiritually immature, and they're divided, and they're following each other rather than Christ. And think about what Paul could have spoken to them, verse 1, if they had been more spiritually minded. But he had to come back and deal with some of their babe-like attitudes of division. He expected them to be growing. Verse 2, I fed you with milk, not with meat, for you were not able to bear it. No, not even now are you able. The implication is they should have been growing. They should have been at the point where they could have handled more meat, if you will. But they're not there. He even uses this illustration in chapter 13 and verse 11, that when I was a child, I spake as a child. We recognize that there's a time for being a babe in Christ. We recognize that there's a time where we're going to be spiritually immature. But then Paul says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so there's a time when we expect the little infant to grow into a child, and a child into a youth, and a youth into an adult. That's normal, that's expected, and God is wanting that from us spiritually. So it's natural, it's expected, it's even planned. This is what God wants. With regard to the relationship of John the Baptist and Jesus, John said, he, Jesus, must increase, the same word translated grow here in Ephesians 4. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's God's plan. And so there's a plan. When you put seeds in the ground, the plan is God's plan. He made those seeds. They're going to grow. And when the seed of the Word of God is planted in our heart and we're born again and we become a spiritual babe in Christ, we enter into this new relationship, The plan is to grow. But how do I know that I'm actually growing? And God will help us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I planted, talking about bringing the gospel to Corinth for the very first time in Acts 18. I planted, Apollos watered. He came along later and preached to those who were already Christians toward the end of Acts 18. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, the same word for growth elsewhere, the same in verse 7. God's going to be there to help us. God is going to make that happen. And it's true in the natural world through His providential hand. And it's also true in the spiritual world that God is going to be there to help us. But we have to do our part. No matter how much power God puts in a seed of corn, it's not going to grow unless I water it, unless I put it in the ground. I've got to do my part. And when I do my part, God will do His part. God will give the increase in your life and in mine. But we've got to do our part. It's encouraged. And that's our scripture reading this morning. Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 a way of speaking that is an encouragement. Read that again in Ephesians 4 and verse 15. But speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him. My version says, may. Paul uses an expression here, this is what one should do. It's in the subjunctive. This is what I would hope, this is what one should or might do as a Christian. God's not going to force us to grow. He's going to encourage us to. And this morning we're going to see those five indications of whether or not I'm really growing. And then it requires effort. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. There has to be some things that we do. So Kaylee and Lyndon, they want that newborn baby to grow. There's going to be some things that they are required to do. If I want my plants to grow, there are some things I'm required to do. And the same is true spiritually. And we're going to talk about teachers, as Jeff has already announced this morning. There are some responsibilities and some requirements and some effort that I'm going to have to put forth. And we find here that there are some brethren in Ephesians 5:11. We're going to come back to this later, so we won't look at it more. We won't look at it in detail right now. We'll come back to it in a minute. But notice, of whom we have many things to say and hard of interpretation, seeing you Christians, he's talking to Christians, are become dull of hearing. They're not putting forth the effort to hear and learn and obey God's word and even turn around and teach it to others. They're actually in need of just the basic principles again of the word of God because they have not been putting forth the effort to grow. So how do I know that I'm growing? And then last of all, as an introductory point this morning, growth can be hindered. I mentioned to you before that there are some rare childhood diseases that stunt growth. Something's not happening there properly. And that happens every once in a while. And plants can be hindered from their growth. And other kinds of things can be hindered. And spiritual growth can be hindered. And I've listed just a few things here. We're not going to grow spiritually when we're fed constantly with just the things of the media world. We're not going to grow spiritually. And if it's just all about social relationships and things out in the world, we're not going to grow spiritually. And if it's about money and things and cars and houses and just things, clothes, we're not going to grow spiritually. If we're caught up in things of recreation where it's all about sports and it's all about this and it's all about that, we're not going to grow spiritually. The fashion industry, look at how much how much decisions are made today based upon the clothes you wear, and the world is telling you, you have to look a certain way, you have to dress a certain way, you have to show off this part of your body and that part of your body, and the fashion industry controls so much today. We cannot grow spiritually when that's our mindset. There are some people who, well, it's a law of the land. The law says this. The law says you can get a divorce for any cause, for example, or whatever. Homosexual marriage or whatever. But this is what the law says. We're not going to grow spiritually if man's law takes precedence over God's law. We're not going to grow spiritually. If all we're thinking about, well, what does man say about it? We need to be asking ourselves, what does the law of Christ say about it? Preachers condoning sin. We cannot grow when a pulpit is weak. We cannot grow when a pulpit condones sin or when a pulpit refuses to, as we just studied in Ephesians, reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. We're not going to grow. And I'm hearing more and more. I've heard it just this past week. I'm hearing more and more where young Christians in their 20s are leaving. They're quitting. I heard it just last week. We're not growing spiritually, and we're being taken in by the devil, and some of it is error. And we'll come back to Ephesians 4:13 in a minute. Family. Where family is first, and things at home are first, and work is first. Well, you certainly have that prerogative. You can make those things first, but we're not going to grow spiritually when those things are in front of the Lord. Improper attitudes. It could be pride. It could be anger. It could be a lack of forgiveness. It could be self-satisfaction, like Laodicea, lukewarm. I don't need to grow. I'm good. The I'm good approach to life. Improper attitudes can keep us from growing. And then I put junk food. Lyndon, Kaylee, don't be feeding that baby junk food. I don't want to hear that you're feeding them Twinkies, you know, all day long. We grow when we eat properly. I mentioned something to this about Sherry, and she said, well, they keep growing, they just grow in the wrong direction when you eat junk food the whole time. I guess that's true. Spiritual junk food. And really, that's probably what all of this list is before that. All of that, it's kind of like junk food. We're feeding ourselves with things, especially with our phone and things like that. We're feeding ourselves with stuff that is actually keeping us from growing. And we wonder, well, why am I not growing? Well, what are you digesting? What are you putting in your heart and in your mind? What are we feeding ourselves spiritually? So because of these things, I want to answer the question this morning. How we can know that we're really growing? What is the spiritual barometer? What is the spiritual thermostat? The gauge, the spiritual biblical gauge, not I think and I feel, but what does the Word of God say that when I'm doing such and such, I am actually spiritually growing? Well, it's not baptism alone, just because I've been baptized. It's not that. We don't know if a baby is going to grow properly just because they've been born. Things set in later sometimes that show, hey, this baby's not growing. And we take them to Vanderbilt or somewhere else and we say, hey, we got to get this fixed. So just because we were baptized doesn't mean we're growing. That's the start, and that's a great start. And it's not because I'm here from time to time. It's not because I'm involved. It's not because I feel this or that. It's not because I sit in my pew from time to time. There are brethren who sit in a pew and they're not growing. Well, I brought my children to church services from birth until they were 18. Well, they were here for 18 years, but that didn't mean that they were growing. So now we're seeing this in the 20-something situation where they're leaving. So physical presence is not necessary. It's a start, and it's important, and we need to be here. But that alone is not an indication. And, well, we have the correct Church of Christ doctrine. And believe me, we need to put a premium on correctness and truth. The same passage we read earlier in Ephesians 4 speaks the truth in love. And earlier in the chapter, one Lord, one faith, those seven ones, we have to be correct in all that we say and do and think with regard to the Word of God. But that alone is not necessarily an indication that we're growing. We can sing without an instrument. We can have male leadership and not female leadership. We can take the Lord's Supper and the contribution every first day of the week instead of quarterly like the denominations. We can do all those correct things, but that doesn't mean we're growing. So let's see what that is. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 then, and let's begin looking at these five areas of our life. How do I know that I am growing? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 19, Paul has just talked about how that Christ dying on the cross brings Jews and Gentiles together, all mankind. Verse 19, so then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several or individual building fitly framed together groweth, here's our word, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're also builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Number one, I know that I'm growing when I am more unified with my brethren today than I was before. In Ephesians chapter 2, growth is connected with unity. I know that I'm growing when I'm more unified with my brethren here at Warfield Boulevard today than I have been a year ago or farther on back. I am more and more unified. That is an external biblical barometer of my growth. So what does that mean? Unity. Look at the figure that he uses there with regard to a building. Each part fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple. Just like this Warfield building has materials, physical materials that physically fit together. They are cut in a certain way. They're joined in a certain way. They come together. It's either nailed or screwed or whatever it is. It's tied together. We have to be tied together, and then the whole thing makes a building. Later in chapter 4, he uses the figure of a physical body. So bones and ligaments and joints and tendons and cartilage and all of this in our human body is formed together, and it makes a unit. I know that I'm growing when I'm more unified now than I was before. So what does that take? As we were talking about this morning in the class, that takes I'm going to work with you. You're going to work with me. I'm going to work with the elders and the deacons and all of the members. We're all going to work together. And unity, there may be, we need to be unified in the Word of God. We need to be unified on what the Scriptures teach. We also need to be unified on things that are not in the Word of God. We call that matters of judgment or scruple, Romans chapter 14. So in a matter of judgment or scruple, and it's not necessarily my way, I'm going to work with you. It's something that you want and vice versa. We've got to be unified, and that shows that I'm spiritually growing. But brethren, I've known of situations where members of the church can sit in a pew year after year after year, and they're there, but they're cantankerous. They're divisive. They won't work with anybody. I've known that. I've experienced that. So what does Paul say in chapter 2 and verse 21? That growth is tied directly to unity. That's how I know that I'm growing spiritually. Same thing mentioned, if you'll turn with me to Colossians 2:19, and then we will move forward. Much of Colossians and Ephesians are parallel together. So you find the same material in both books. He's talking about these individuals who go after false teaching. They are not holding fast the head, capital H, Christ. They're not staying with what Christ teaches. They're going after these other things, from whom all the body being supplied and knit together through the joints and bands, some say ligaments or tendons, increaseth, that's the same word, increaseth or grows with the increase of God. Increase or growth is tied to a physical body being all joined together with the bones and the muscles and the ligaments and everything. It's joined with unity. I know I'm growing when I'm more unified with my brethren now than I was before. Let's be having that in our life. I know that I'm growing. Turn with me to chapter 4 and verse 15 of Ephesians. I know that I'm growing when I'm more mature as Christ is. In verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things. Then look at this. Into Him. Growth is tied to growing into Christ, meaning I'm becoming more Christ-like. I'm more mature in Christ than I was before. I speak more like Christ would speak. I think more like Christ would think. I do more that Christ does. I'm more Christ-like now than I was before. I know that I am growing. When it comes to facing issues in life, what would Jesus do? I need to act like that. I need to think like that. I need to speak like He would. I need to be more mature in Christ. Grow up in all things into Him, who is the head, even Christ. I'm moving toward a direction into Him. What is this direction? It's maturity in Christ. And we read about Christ in the Gospels, but sometimes we don't act like that. We read the stories, we read the parables, we read the miracles, we read all of these things that Jesus did, and then sometimes we don't act Christ-like. I know that I'm growing when I'm more mature in Christ. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at a third area where we can tell if we are growing or not. Remember, we're trying to get out of the mode of, I think I'm growing, or I feel I'm growing. When you take the little infant back to the pediatrician, they don't just say, well, I think your child is growing. No, they weigh them. They measure them. And there has to be that concrete barometer even for us today. And it's got to be the Scriptures. And it's these visible things. Unity is something that is visible. You can tell whether a member of the church is unified with others or not. You can see that. You can tell if a member of the church is acting Christ-like. You can see that. And the same thing with this third area. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul writes with regard to the gospel which has come unto you, even as it is also in all the world, bearing fruit and increasing, same word, growing, as it does in you also. So now Paul ties growth to the word of God. I know that I'm growing when I'm more knowledgeable of God's Word than I was before. And we're going to look at three areas here this morning in just a minute. While we're here in Colossians, jump down to verse 10, Colossians 1:10, again, talking about the gospel. that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, verse 9, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing, same word for growth in Ephesians, increasing or growing in the knowledge of God. How do I know that I'm growing? I know more of God's Word than I did before. Now, we're going to tweak that a little bit. We're going to specify a few things here. It's not just simply, I read my Bible every day, but what am I doing with that Word of God that is showing growth? In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Same word used there. So growth is tied to a knowledge of the Word of God. That's clearly going to mean, number one, just simply studying it more. I want to be in Bible class. I want to read my Bible. I want to study my Bible. I want to learn my Bible. I want to obey it. I'm not interested in just a basic level and then never going from there. I'm going to know more and more and more that I can. So number one, it involves studying it. Brethren, I mentioned this matter about something that I heard this past week. We're losing our young people. And just to be blunt about it, it's something that we all have to face. We have to face this in our own family. We're no exception. But just to be blunt about it, many of them are spending more time on their phone than they are with their Bible. We can't grow. We cannot grow. It's just not going to happen. And then we get to the point in life where things are pressuring them, and sometimes it's who you marry, sometimes it's college, sometimes it's other things. All of a sudden, they're being bombarded with some things, and they quit, or they go somewhere where they shouldn't be going. And we wonder, well, how did that happen? They weren't growing spiritually. And so it's very, very important that we have a spiritual barometer to know if this is actually going on. Are they actually growing? And I need to be knowing more and more of the Word of God. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. God doesn't want us simply to know it. He wants us to know it in such a way, and here's where the challenge comes, that we need to be teaching it to others. And it could be in a formal Bible class, and that's what Jeff is talking about. And we need us as adults to physically go back there in the back and be in one of those rooms. We need that. But whether it's there, or whether it is older women teaching the younger women, whether it's riding in a car, whether it's around a coffee table, whether it's in a formal room back there, we need to be telling others and teaching others the Word of God. It shows that we're growing. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to see a couple of other benefits here, and we'll tie it into our young people in just a minute. Of whom we have many things to say and hard of interpretation, seeing you are become dull of hearing. He had just talked about Melchizedek. Some of them, some brethren, were not ready to handle a lesson on Melchizedek and the comparison between him and Christ because they're just not growing. Maybe they had forgotten that Old Testament story. They're not at the point where the writer could continue on with that, so he brings in this point. You're not ready for that. You have become dull of hearing. Not physically, but spiritually. I don't want to learn anymore. I don't want Jeff to challenge me in class to learn more of Ephesians. I'm good. I just want to coast the rest of the way in my life. There are some brethren like that. So look at what happens. For when by reason of time, we're to be using our time to grow and learn more and then use it to teach, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers. This type of growth where we go from study to then turning around teaching it ought to happen in our life. It's expected. you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. So the first thing that happens is you're not teaching like you should. The second thing that happens is even what you have learned, you forget and you're going back to, you just have to handle the basics. How many books are in the Bible? Name the 12 apostles. You see, these just basic kinds of things. What does it take to be saved? Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized. You just got to go back to the basic things because I'm just not learning anymore. Then look at the third thing that happens. He says the third thing that happens is you are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. Then look at this. For everyone that partakes of milk is without experience. The little infant starts off on its mother's milk because that's what the digestive system is made to handle. But then later you do more. You don't give a steak to a newborn. You give them milk. So that's the proper thing. You don't have a lot of experience. A little infant doesn't have a lot of experience in life, but that's proper. But everyone that partakes of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Listen, there's a time when that is normal. When we're baptized into Christ, we're a babe. But we need to get out of that and move past that at some point. And then look at this. He is a babe, but solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. This is the problem. One reason why we're losing some of our young people is they don't know the difference between good and evil, truth and error, right and wrong. And they've not been growing spiritually to take the Word of God. So I go back here into Bible class and Reggie's teaching me or Seth is teaching me and I'm going to take all of that and I'm going to go home with it and I'm going to learn to apply that in my life so that I know what is good and evil. Well, I'm not doing any of that. And so I get on up in my 20s and so forth. I don't know. I don't know if that's error or not. I don't know if that's authorized or not. I don't know if God wants me to do that or not. It has actual real-life consequences to it. So I'm out on a date. I don't know. I'm out with my friends. I don't know. So I've got to be studying it and knowing it. I've got to be teaching it, turning around, explaining it to others because of some of these other benefits. Look at verse 14. One of the benefits of teaching the Word of God, it's not just so that we can have Bible class teachers. We need that. It's also because in my personal life, when I've been learning and then teaching, I know how to discern right and wrong. And then turn with me to Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. I know that I'm growing when I take the Word of God and I spread it to others. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7 and these other passages on the PowerPoint, 12:4 and 19:2, as we see these various conversions taking place in the book of Acts and the apostles going around preaching the Word of God, it said that the Word of God grew or the Word of God increased. What is that? The increasing of the spreading of it, the increasing of the teaching of it and the preaching of it. And I know that I'm growing when I'm doing that as well with the Word of God. I know I'm growing when I'm more knowledgeable of God's Word than I was before. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. I know that I'm growing when I'm stronger to face various trials and tribulations that come along. And we've had that recently in our lives. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul has been talking about, he's commending them, and look at what he says in verse 4, 2 Thessalonians 1, 4, so that we ourselves glory in you, in all the churches of God, for your patience and faith and all of your persecutions and the afflictions which you endure. They were enduring afflictions and persecutions, but what caused them to do that? Back up to verse 3. For that your faith grows exceedingly and the love of each one of you toward one another abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and the afflictions which you endure. How were they able to do that? Verse 3, their faith was growing exceedingly. I am strong. My faith, which is a word that means trust and confidence and belief, it is growing exceedingly, and nothing is going to cause me to waver under difficult circumstances. But there are people who, there are brethren who buckle under difficult circumstances and trials and persecutions. And they buckle, they quit, they cave. Their faith, look at it, verse 3, your faith grows exceedingly, not just grows, but exceedingly. When I go out to the garden and dump some fertilizer on it, boy, it shoots up exceedingly. It's not just bare minimum, it's getting after it. And that's the way our faith needs to be. But I know that I'm growing when I'm more strong in my trials than I was before. When my faith is growing so strong that I have a patience and endurance to undergo any persecutions and trials and afflictions. And in the first century, that meant a lot of even physical persecution that Christians had to endure. But whether it's that today or something else, I'm here, I'm still worshiping, right? My kids are still here. They're still worshiping. We're not going to let anything deter us. We're going to be strong. And that's how I know I'm growing. And then last of all, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I know that I'm really growing spiritually when I'm living more pure today than I was before. If I catch myself committing the same old sin over and over and over again, no matter how often it pops up, if it's the same thing, I'm not growing. But if I'm growing spiritually, those things that I shouldn't be doing, I'm slowly sloughing them off in my life. They're not on the list anymore. It's just not going to happen anymore. I did them when I was younger. I'm just not going to do that anymore. They're not on the list anymore. If they're still on the list and I find myself doing the same thing over and over again, I'm not growing. Peter ties growth to purity. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. I know that I'm growing when I'm more pure in my living than I was before. Putting away, therefore, all wickedness and all guile or deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking. As newborn babes long for the spiritual milk, God's word, which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. Notice that Peter ties growth in verse 2 to putting these things away in verse 1. I'm going to put this stuff away, and then I'm going to use the spiritual milk of God's Word to grow unto salvation. They were already saved. He's talking to Christians. But even Christians, there's past salvation and then from sin when we're baptized. And then there's future salvation in heaven. And I look at it, I'm growing unto or toward salvation. How? By putting this stuff away. I can't grow spiritually, verse 2, until I first put some stuff away. I know I'm growing when I'm more pure in my living than I was before. And only we can answer that. Only we know these things. Only we know if we are more unified. Only we know. Now, some of these things we can tell. I mentioned earlier about, you know, you can tell if somebody's... There are some outward things. You can tell a tree by its fruit, Jesus said. There are some outward evidences that brethren are growing. But truly, in our own heart, we know if we're more unified. And if not, let's grow. We know if we are more Christ-like each and every day. If not, make the change. We know if we're more literate in the Word of God. We know that. We have a literacy problem in this country. And it's not just the regular education. I saw a couple of weeks ago where there's a high school in Baltimore that had like 638 graduates. 638 graduates in this high school in Baltimore. 1.9% of those graduates were at reading level. Several hundred were at a kindergarten reading level. Kindergarten. 18-year-olds reading at a kindergarten level. But brethren, we've got to be careful that we're not 18-year-olds reading at a kindergarten level with the Word of God. We've got to know our Bible. We've got to know. And only we know that. We know if we're more faithful and strong in difficult times or just the same old weak person. We know if we're more pure or not. And so I wanted us to remind ourselves, it's a topic that we all like to talk about, growth. But how do we know that we're really growing according to God's Word? These things in our life. If we can help you this morning to begin that growth process by being born again, being baptized into Christ, come and let us baptize you into Christ. If we can help you as a child of God to grow more and better, and the prayers of the saints would help you with that, you can come as well. Let's grow. That's what God expects. It's natural. He requires it of us. And let's make sure we have these elements in our life. If you're subject to the invitation in some way, if we could help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?